Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Book of Luke, chapter 19, we're going to read the first 10 verses here. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation. Come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are thankful tonight that we are able to be here. We gave off many names here a few moments ago with folks being sick. And so, God, I pray that you just watch over them, give them healing to their body, give them strength as they need it. We pray that you just work and bless. We are anxious to be back with them once again. And so, God, I pray that you just restore their health to them again. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us as this weather came through today. Some aren't so lucky. And so, God, I pray for the ones who are in the path of the storm, who might be facing worse things than us. We thank you for watching over us. God, I pray that you just work and bless them tonight. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. It's one of my favorite stories to actually read, along with many others in the Bible, because it takes me back to my childhood days as we sat around in a Sunday school room, and one of the songs we sang was, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And so that always comes to my mind when I read this story, and then I begin to kind of have visions in my head of the kids that used to be in the class at that time and a teacher. So that's just kind of nostalgic for me in that sense. Tonight we're going to be dealing with seeking the lost. The last few weeks we have talked and have exposed many false teachers. And so when you begin to expose their teachings, you got to come back and then you got to preach the stuff that they're not preaching. And so that's what I intend to do for the next couple weeks, things that are missing in their churches that need to be there. So with that, we've also discussed the importance of teaching the correct doctrine. So tonight, we are going to deal with salvation. And hopefully, we'll see a good picture here tonight. And it's a salvation of one that you cannot lose, because there are people out there that believe this, that you can lose your salvation. With that being said, I'm going to say this. Christ died once. Christ died once. If I was to lose my salvation, then he would have to go back to the cross and die again for me. He died one time only for me. So we cannot lose our salvation once we have accepted it from Jesus Christ. That salvation will keep us sealed until the day of redemption. Through this passage, it is made clear that it is not us who is seeking God. So often we're saying, I found God. Well, God's been looking for you. You have not been looking for God. And it's proven here in this scripture. It says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which that was lost. So we are not seeking him. He is seeking us in this matter. In John 3:16, we've rehearsed this the last few weeks. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus' desire is for people not to perish, to go to hell without accepting him. He wants people to accept him. Zacchaeus is a man who had a great living, great financially. He had a great business going for him, and he made some money off of that. And there's nothing wrong with being rich in any way, shape, or form. Here's a man who knew of Jesus coming to town. He heard of his passing, that he was going to be coming through town through Jericho. And so with that being said, because he heard of his coming to the town, Zacchaeus had a desire to go out and to see Jesus. Now, let's face it, if that was us, living back then, and we've heard of the miracles that Jesus was doing, and maybe we've seen some of those miracles that he did in some folks' lives, would we not want to go see Jesus? Would we not want to be around him? And that's what we desire. And so Zacchaeus had a desire to go see him. And so that desire was going to change his life forever. But because of his small stature and having many people surrounding him, Jesus, Zacchaeus had to do something that was probably out of the ordinary for him, because he was a wealthy man. Probably didn't need anything. He maybe had some servants. I don't know those things. Maybe had some people doing some work for him. But we see here that he did something that most people wouldn't do. He would climb up into a tree. Now, I don't know what the scenery looked like back then. I only know what it looks like now after being there. And I'll be honest with you, there's not too many trees that are tall like they are around here. They're smaller trees. Many of them are olive trees, and those are some beautiful trees as well. So he climbs up into a tree to see a man that was going to give him something far greater than earthly riches. And he was seeking something. He was a wealthy man who was probably not in need of anything, as I've said. But there are two things that Zacchaeus needed that day to change his life. I'm going to give you two things this evening. Hopefully it'll paint a different picture for you. The first thing that we might overlook here as we begin to go through this verse once again, let me find it here. Verse number 3, and it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before him," verse 4, "and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he's to pass that way." So here's the object that we might overlook here, and that is the tree. Think about this. If this tree didn't exist at this time where Jesus was passing, the possibility of Jesus and Zacchaeus meeting might not have never happened. Do you realize Jesus places obstacles in our life for a reason? This tree here was an obstacle for Zacchaeus. It was placed there before him. And so Zacchaeus saw this tree, had a desire to see Jesus. He begins to climb up a tree. Well, that takes me back to my youth. Anybody, any guy in here, probably girls too, has anybody ever climbed a tree? I love climbing trees. There used to be a tree right out here, and the limbs used to hang over the road. And back in the day, this road wasn't as busy as it is now, but the traffic has picked up for some reason. But this tree, Wayne and I would go out there constantly. We would climb this tree. Now, you got to understand, we stopped climbing trees with Jeff at our old house because of the things that Jeff used to do to us up in a tree. So Jeff wasn't allowed to climb these trees with us over here. And so I remember one afternoon, well, it was actually one evening, Wayne and I, we decided to get up there, and we used to grab some rocks. And so as we climbed up there, we would throw rocks out across the interstate and deliberately trying to hit the trailers of the semis, because it made a cool sound when it did hit them at a good speed. And so this takes me back to us trying to climb trees. And the other day I was looking out my backyard, and I got a big tree out in my backyard. I'm thinking, man, how would I climb this now? Back in the day I would be okay doing it, but now I'm thinking, man, that's a long way down if I got up here. And I'm not so sure of how I would do things now. But Zacchaeus began to climb a tree that was going to change his life. The objects that get placed in front of us at times to make things happen are truly amazing. But here a tree is used. We might not think nothing of this, but I do. Because the death that Jesus experienced was done upon a tree called a cross. Think about that. A tree that signifies death, for one, because that's what the cross pictures. It's a picture of death. It's a picture of our Savior and our King getting on that cross, having the nails driven through his hand and having the nails driven through his feet and a crown of thorns upon his head. He would get up there and he would die for you and me. So that's what the cross signifies. It also signifies hope for us as well. And I'm thankful for that. So the tree signifies death for one. And then this tree here signifies life for another one. Think about this. If Zacchaeus didn't climb up in a tree, would Jesus and him have ever crossed paths? I don't know. I just know that this tree was here at this point in time, and this is what Zacchaeus saw, and this is what he did. He climbed up in there. And so this tree is not a form of his salvation, but this tree was going to be an opportunity for him to have his life changed. And what a great thing for that to be. Now, again, I said earlier, it might not be nothing to you, but I like this thought process. Because a lot of you folks have heard my salvation story on many different occasions. We our old auditorium was up there, and that's where we use our school. And I remember years ago, we were watching a movie, Left Behind series. And I shouldn't say the series, it was just one movie at the time. That was in the early 80s when this took place, or late 80s. And I remember watching that movie, being very convicted of the things that was going on in there. And I walked out of there, and I didn't get far, but there used to be a tree right outside these walls, not too far where Christy's sitting right now. And that tree, as I began to walk away from the conviction up there, God stopped me right in my tracks, right underneath that tree. And right there, I knelt down and I began to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. So I appreciate the story of a tree that's being used here. So to me, it's not meaningless. It's a beautiful picture that God is allowing us to see here. So just like the tree for Zacchaeus, the cross, let me get back to this. The cross would have been meaningless to us if Jesus didn't allow himself to be hung upon that cross. Just like the tree for Zacchaeus, if he didn't climb it to see Jesus, it would have been useless. Now, Zacchaeus had a choice in his life. He could have said, you know what, I've heard of this man, I've heard of the great things he's done, but this isn't for me. But he made a different choice, saying, you know, I've heard of this man, I want to see this man, and I hope that as I'm seeing this man, Jesus, that he's going to see me, and our paths are going to cross some way or another. A tree. And the only thing they had to do was to climb it. Swallow his pride. Why did he have to swallow his pride? Well, he was a wealthy man. How many rich men do you see climbing around in trees? You don't really see it that much unless you're an owner of a tree business. You might see it like that. But he had to swallow his pride and begin the process of getting higher to see the Lord. To some, a tree really isn't that important, but for some, it's life-changing. The second thing that we must see tonight is this. Jesus came to him. Let's begin reading again here. Verse number 4 says, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he used to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus." Now, you might not see this, but I'm seeing something here that's amazing. Jesus and Zacchaeus have never met before in life, have they? We're only reading a story right now. But as soon as Jesus comes upon a scene, he looks up in a tree, and what does he say? He calls Zacchaeus by name. Now, if that was me, I would say, "How do you know my name?" It would freak me out a little bit. Zacchaeus is known by Jesus. He goes on and says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." He made eye contact. He looked up, called him by name, and says, "You know what, Zacchaeus, get down from this tree because we're going to go to your house. And we're going to have some conversation." Think about that for a second. Ladies, if this was you, just say this real quick. If this was you, and Jesus came your way, and he made eye contact with you, and he says, calls you out by name, he says, "Hey, we're going to your house." Most ladies would probably say, "Jesus, please give me some time, because I got to clean some things up. My kids have been home, they made a mess of things, my husband's been home, and he's made a real big mess of things. and my cats and my dogs, they're just tearing up the house. So Jesus, give me some time to clean things up. This didn't take place, but we see that Zacchaeus opened his arms and brought Jesus to his home. It says here in verse number 6, it says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I believe that Zacchaeus, as he was climbing up there, he probably had to climb up there slowly to make sure that he wasn't going to fall. But as soon as he made eye contact with Jesus and he called him by name, it says, get down. He gets down quickly and goes right to Jesus, and he receives him joyfully. So the second thing we see is Jesus came to him. Not only did he come to him, but he went to his house. Man, that would be pretty amazing, having Jesus inside our homes. But you know what? We do. We do have Jesus inside our homes. I'm not talking about our houses that we live in. I'm talking about our body, our home right here. We have Jesus living inside of us. But sometimes our outward appearance might look good, but our inward is so dirty and filthy. And Jesus is still there. So he went to his house. Not too many people can say this, but Zacchaeus can say this. This is a great picture for us to see that we don't go to him, he comes to us. Not just once, but on many different occasions. I know that to be a fact in my life, and folks, you know that to be a fact in your life. Jesus has pursued you, has sought you for years. And we have rejected him for maybe months and years at a time. And we finally give in to his calling. He comes to us. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful today that Jesus never stopped seeking me. Never stopped seeking me. No matter where I went, no matter what I did, no matter my attitude on things, no matter what I talked about, Jesus was still seeking. He was still pursuing me. Why? Because Jesus does not want me to perish and go to hell. That's how important it is to him. And not only was he doing that to me just at one time, but he's doing that to everybody in this world, seeking them. But unfortunately, we know that not everybody's going to receive him. They will reject him. Jesus comes to us. Verse number 10, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, upon our journey in life, as we're going through this, we weren't always saved. We were lost at some point or another in our life. But thank God for his Son seeking us to give us salvation. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And without him in our lives, we are totally lost. So this is important as we continue to go through this process, the importance of teaching salvation. There should be an importance of churches having pastors and preachers speaking on salvation is such a great need in churches. Because that's exactly what we need. But what we see in our world as I begin to explain these last 2-3 weeks is what they're really trying to do is they're trying to get you to buy into the prosperity gospel. And that prosperity gospel is you name it, you claim it. You want a red Corvette? Well, you name it, you claim it. You want an AR-15? You name it, you claim it. You want a 35,000 square foot home? You name it, you claim it. And that's what they're trying to teach, and they're trying to get everybody to see. But they're not preaching the salvation of Jesus. I know that to be a fact of what I have observed throughout these years of looking at these people. And so what takes place as they're trying to give out the prosperity gospel, here's what's taking place. They are missing out on the great opportunity of being able to lead somebody to the Lord. That is a great opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. You know, I haven't had the chance to lead as many folks to the Lord as some people have. But just to be a part in somebody's life, even if it's just one, that's life-changing. You know, and also at the same time, it's still scary to me. Even if I deal with somebody, and I want to tell you why it's scary to me, because I don't want to say the wrong thing to cause somebody to reject Jesus Christ, because their life is literally in your hands. They can either say, you know what, I'm going to reject hell, and I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior so that I can have a home and eternity with Him. But I do know this, as you're trying to be the witness to the one that you're trying to lead to the Lord, Satan's trying very hard at the same time for that individual not to see Christ. So it is a great opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. It's a great opportunity to be able to give somebody a track, whether it be at the store or the gas station. It's a great opportunity. I've talked about my brother-in-law, Kurt, on many different occasions, and what he's got a great gift that I don't have. But he texted us a couple weeks ago, I believe about a week and a half ago on a Sunday, and he was excited because he was able to lead as they're out witnessing on a Sunday afternoon. They do this in between their services. There's a group of men and some teenagers that will go out during this time, and they'll go knock on doors. And as they were knocking on doors, they came upon two individuals, and he was able to lead two individuals to Christ. And that excites him. You know what? It excites me as well. So it is a great opportunity. And if that's not being preached in churches, then there's a big missing out on this opportunity. With salvation, our lifestyle that we lived will be changed. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Keep this thought in your mind. Our lifestyle will be changed after salvation. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 11 through 12. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth," what? "Salvation, hath appeared to all men," meaning that everyone has the opportunity, has the privilege to accept the Lord as their Savior. Verse number 12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It should be a life that is no longer seeking to live ungodly." With that being said, as we are taught to be a witness to this world, as messages are given to us to go out and to reach the lost, you and I have an obligation. Well, what's that obligation? That obligation is for us to live a godly life. Because I can guarantee you this, the lost know when you're ungodly. They know that for a fact. Even if you just happen to slip up at work, they'll say, "Man, I thought better of you. I thought you weren't like this." But sometimes we slip up at work because we want to fit in just a little bit, or we want to say, "Hey, we're funny in this area." But we ought to be one that's living a godly life, and not an ungodly life. And with the help of God, we will be able to reject some things that we have never had the ability to do so before. That's the great thing about salvation. Because we have asked Christ for forgiveness of our sins, yes, do we still battle things with our flesh? Most definitely, we still do. We battle things every single day with our flesh. Everybody has different battles. Everybody has different temptations in their life. But with God giving us his salvation after we accept it, now we have the ability to reject that temptation, to reject that ungodliness. Well, why would we want to reject it? Because we want the world to see Christ through us. That's what we want. Ron Todd said it many years ago. "I might not be able to lead people to the Lord through what I say, but I might be able to lead people to the Lord because of my lifestyle that I'm living for Him. Because they're seeing a change in me. They're seeing Christ live through me." And by the way, when Christ is living through you, it's obvious to be seen. It truly is. Ungodliness and worldly lust keep us from serving and seeing God for who He is. Zacchaeus made a comment in verse number 8. Let's read this. Let's turn back there. to Luke chapter number 19. Go back to our main text, Luke chapter 19. And we read in verse number 8. Well, let's go back to number 7. It says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." Can I stop and say something here real quick? Because a lot of people say, they'll use this for their excuse for living in the world. Well, Jesus, he went to the woman at the well. Jesus went and he dwelt amongst the sinners. But let me say this, Jesus never committed those sins. He went to those people specifically to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't go in there to fit in, which is what a lot of people want to do. They want to go in and they want to fit in. They want to be these casual drinkers, these casual smokers, or whatever. And that's what they want to do, to fit in. Jesus didn't go in there to fit in, folks. Jesus went in there to give them the gospel. He had a goal in mind. And I will guarantee you this, people who say they are believers that go into these establishments are not there to win people to Christ. They're there to fit in, because they want to look like them and act like them. And that's the fact of the matter. You might be saying, "Well, Chad, you're being kind of harsh tonight." No, I'm just stating a fact. That's all I'm doing. And I'm not being mean. And I will say this. You know what? If they want out of that lifestyle, all they got to do is turn to God and say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. Forgive me." And you know what? As I'm on this, if we know people like that, and they've done that exact same thing, they've gone out there, they want to fit in, they rejected the church, they rejected Christ, and they say, "You know what, I'm wrong, Lord, please forgive me." When that takes place, folks, here's what we need to do. We need to accept them. We need to accept them. Why? Because we're no different. We're no different, folks. Whew, that felt good to get off my chest. I can stop and be done there right now. So as we go on, it says that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You know what Zacchaeus was doing? He was confessing to the Lord what he's done. You know, that's a part of salvation, is confessing our sins to the Lord. And Zacchaeus was doing this. In verse number 9, after this was done, Jesus, he turns to him and said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus had realized he has sinned and has come short of the glory of God. You'll find that in Romans 3, verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." First, we must recognize that our sin has separated us from God. No different than our sins being placed on Jesus, on Calvary. As that took place, God and him were separated. That's what the scripture says. God turned his back upon his own son. But Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that verse wasn't done. Because if that verse was done, all would be doom and gloom. "For the wages of sin is death." That's it. Done. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." A tree. A tree stood in a way, in a way of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, all he had to do was climb this tree for a man who was seeking to look, was seeking to find him. Why would false teachers not preach about salvation? Instead, they preach about having your better life now, setting up your earthly kingdom. Maybe it's perhaps because they don't believe in salvation themselves. It's very possible. Instead, they are trying to get you to work your way into heaven. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm turning there for a reason, because My memory is slipping me on this point one right now. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We cannot work our way into heaven. We cannot earn our way into heaven. All we have to do is accept the precious gift that God has given us through His Son. And that comes by the grace of God through faith. This doctrine is simply missing in these false churches. They should be concerned about the souls of man. They should not be concerned about how much money they're trying to get from an individual, because I've seen it on many different occasions. "Hey, I got some holy water for you. If you send $50, I will give you this holy water." All it is tap water. "Hey, I got this prayer cloth, and I just wiped the sweat off my brow, and I'm going to allow you to have it for $100. And that's how they try to connive people. And so this doctrine is missing from a lot of these churches. I'm more concerned about the soul of man than I am trying to gain from somebody financially. Because if that's what it's all about, then we're missing something, folks. We need to be concerned about the souls of men. Without salvation, we have nothing. Without the blood of Christ being shed, we have nothing. Without His death upon the cross, all would be lost. The greatest message to ever be preached, in my opinion, is that of salvation. Now, some other preachers, they might have different ideas, but my thought is salvation is the first and most important thing that should always be preached. Pastor has taught me something years ago. "Chad, you should always, without a doubt, somehow fit a salvation message into the Sunday morning crowd, because that's when you have more of attendance. Sunday night drops off, you have your faithful. Wednesday night, you have your true faithful crowd. So not everybody's going to get the same thing, but as you begin to get the bigger crowd in on Sunday, goes, you always got to have a salvation message. I tell you what, I've learned so much from Pastor. As I begin to listen to him, he'll bring up subjects, and then, boom, right there. He's always bringing in some sort of way of a salvation message. God has given him a tremendous gift in that. Billy Graham, even though I don't agree with everything that he has preached on, he's never missed an opportunity to preach the salvation message of Jesus Christ. I don't agree with how he's done some things, but he's always taken that opportunity to preach the salvation message of Jesus Christ. So this message isn't new to most people here tonight. But here is something that I want to encourage you to do, if I could. That is to be a part, a big part, in helping Jesus fulfill the Great Commission. So often we think it's a choice. I'm going to prove to you tonight that it's not a choice. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 16. This is where a lot of God's people believe that it's a choice. But I got to show you tonight that it is not. Because in verse number 15, you see that Jesus is speaking. It says, "And he said unto them, Go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's not a choice. It is a command coming from Jesus himself. Folks, we got a tremendous responsibility in our hands tonight. And that is giving the gospel to the world that desperately needs it. You know, for years we all get excited. We say, "Man, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back." You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm excited for Jesus' return. I truly am. But I'm more scared to death of people missing out on going to heaven with me. What are you saying? What are we doing to help Jesus fulfill that Great Commission? What are we doing? So let me ask you a question. Don't answer this out loud. When was the last time that you were able to lead someone to Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you were able to open up your Bible? Or maybe not even open up your Bible, but just to quote it from memory and to be able to share the gospel with somebody that God has brought toward you. God does this on a daily basis. You know, I missed out on a great opportunity yesterday. I was walking out of the pastor's room as the doctors and the nurses, they make their rounds. And they're coming into his room. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm there in my dad's room, that stuff freaks me out. All the beep, 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 all that stuff, it does. It just does something. But if I'm in there with somebody else's family, it doesn't bother me. I'm okay with it. And then when the doctors and nurses come in, that bothers me too. One, my blood pressure goes up. My heart rate starts going out of whack. Anyway, as they're coming in, I said, I'm the patient. I said something stupid. I'm the patient. He's just sitting over there in the bed. And they just all kind of looked at me, and I was just trying to make light of the situation. 5 minutes after I walked out of there, I said to myself, why did I not grab these doctors and nurses and pray for them? And that's been going through my mind all day. I had a great opportunity. Instead, I wanted to be a jokester to make myself feel more at ease, and I missed out on being a great testimony to somebody. And I could have prayed to them right then and there. I could have prayed this, Lord, don't only give them the wisdom and the knowledge to help my dad out, but man, they're meeting all these other patients throughout the day too. Lord, please be with them. You know, that could have went a long way with them. God puts people in your life, and we pass up on those opportunities. And I passed up on a major opportunity yesterday because I thought it was more important to be a jokester. You know, I hope that when God comes back, that those people don't look at me and say, why didn't you? That's going to be on my blood. Their blood's going to be on my hands. We have a great responsibility to give the gospel to the lost. And I hope that we will begin to capitalize upon the opportunity that God has given us. Last night, as I'm closing, I'm just talking here real quick. Doug and I, we meet at the gym. We don't work out together. He just goes at a different time. He lives there. He's there all day long. But he's got more stamina than I do. He came over and talked to me last night. And as he's talking to me, right on one of the machines, there's two tracks. Fake $50 bills. But as you look on the back of it, it has the message of Jesus Christ. And I show that to Doug, and he goes, yeah, they're all over the gym right now. I'm thinking to myself, somebody did not want to pass up on the opportunity. It's like, good deal. I didn't take it. I have Jesus. I left it there for somebody else to have Jesus. And that is a great opportunity. You know, that's exactly what my brother-in-law does. He'll go to these grocery stores, gas stations, just start putting tracks on doors. You never know what a track's going to do to change somebody's life. You'll never know. Well, let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given to us. And Lord, I know it means a lot to us. God, I pray that you'd help us to do our part, to go out into our community, to continue to distribute the gospel so that folks can be saved. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Lord, for your folks that showed up tonight, for their faithfulness and their love for you. And I pray that you just give them safety as they go home. Be with their ones again that aren't feeling well. Just God, we miss them tonight, and we'd love to see them back. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.